And in the parasha, in the beginning of Parshas Kisi, so this week's parasha, the very first Rashi, first pasuk, we actually did this yesterday in the afternoon. We learned yesterday in the afternoon some Chumash Rashi Unkelus, and there we learned about the mitzvah of the census. If Kisisas Rosh B'nai Yisrael, if the time will come when you want to take a calculation of the number of people in Klal Yisrael, so the pasuk goes on to tell you the technique, how it should be done. Everyone should give a machzis ha-shekel, and they will count the number of coins, and that way we will know the number. So Rashi here writes, the pasuk says, V'nasnu ish koifer nafshoi l'Hashem b'fkoidosam v'lo yihyeh vohem negef b'fkoidosam. Rashi, Shehaminyan shoylet boy ayin hora. Rashi's words are very precise. Minyan, a number. Anything that has a number, immediately it's shoylet. What rules over a number? Ayin hora. Vehadever bo alehem. And Rashi goes so far, and what's so bad if there's an ayin hora? Ayin hora is a trigger for a dever, a plague. Plague basically means death. Rashi's words are very, very precise. Rashi is telling us over here a process. The process is, first you have a number. You count up 1 to 10. Okay, we count 1 to 10. Now that we've reached the number 10, okay, number 10, now enters onto the stage, Ayin Hara. Hello, here I am. I'm Ayin Hara. Now that you've had number 10, you're mine. I was not allowed to enter the arena until you reached the number, until you concluded counting. Count Dracula, right? Until he has to reach the number 10. Oh, this is the sum. Now that there is a sum, I have permission to enter. Now comes Ayin Hara. Okay, very good. So very nice, this Ayin Hara. So what? Now, once Ayin Hara has presented himself, it can now enter the arena, a new entity called a Dever. There are three different entities. There's a procession in Rashi. Rashi is very precise. First is the Minyan, then comes the Ayin Hara, and then comes the Dever. There's a process. Now, the reason why it's important to acknowledge that there's a process is, if you're able to take out one of the elements, if it was just one thing, there's no difference between A, B, and C, it's all the same, there's nothing you can do. But once you break it down into parts, you can stop the sequence. If you're able to eliminate one of the three, then you can have the other two. If a minion automatically brings death, there's nothing you can do. If when you count the Jewish people and you achieve a minion, the result is death, what are you going to do? There's nothing you can possibly do. But that's not the way it goes. There's nothing wrong with a minion. If you want to count to 10, that's fine. Problem is, when you get to the number 10, there's a new entity, a new concept that has now been, that's independent, called Ayin Hara. Okay, very nice. And now, once there is Ayin Hara, it now triggers a new thing called a Dever. Being that we're breaking down this sequence into three different parts, that is to our advantage. If we can introduce an ingredient into this process that can eliminate one of the three, then we can remain with the other two. And that's exactly what this pasuk over here says, according to Rashi. There's nothing wrong with having a count of the Jewish people. The problem is going to be an Ayin Hara. Is there something wrong with an Ayin Hara? Is that inherently wrong? No, not necessarily. It's not necessarily wrong yet. But what's the problem? When there's an Ayin Hara, it invites a Dever. It invites... If you can eliminate the Dever, then you can have your count, and you can even have the ayin hara. Who cares? So it's because an ayin hara. Who cares? There's an ayin hara. What's the difference? There's an ayin hara. Well, there's nichush. There's nichush. Just because I counted to the number 10, now I can't do. If a cat walks in front of me, I can't go. I can't go to the store. Ayin hara is no different than a cat walking in front of me. I'm allowed to walk in the street. The cat walks in front of me. I have to change my whole life because there's a cat. I can't go wear a nice watch. I can't wear a nice suit. I can't live my life. No. Just because Hashem gave me a bracha? Is that really so? Just because Hashem gave me a bracha, it's my problem? It's your problem. Hashem gave me a bracha. You have an obligation to accept that I have a bracha. I'm not doing anything wrong. Today we live in a world where, I mean, I'm trying to present you the different approaches to ayin hara and different ideas. We live in a world today that if Hashem gave you a bracha, so don't show it off. Don't show it off. If you're a wealthy person, don't wear a nice suit. If you wear a nice suit, people are going to get jealous. Now we're going to come back. There's truth to that, but. I said the wrong word. I said the word jealous. That's not the right word. So, wow, he has a nice suit. So what? So I have a nice suit. So you also deserve a nice suit. Go to work, get a job, earn some money, and buy yourself a nice suit. It's my problem that I have a nice suit? It's your problem. I'm responsible for you? What's this all about over here? What's going on over here? I'm not allowed to live my life because you don't have it? I mean, it sounds like almost like America, right?
Yeah, this sounds like America. Conservative thinking.
It sounds like America. Exactly, right. It's conservative thinking. If Hashem gave me blessing, that's right. I'm going to enjoy my blessing. And if you got a problem, that's your problem. Go to your rabbi, go to your priest, and learn how to deal with the fact that there's someone else in this world that has blessing.
And who's stopping
you from achieving blessing? You could also go and achieve blessing. Who's stopping you? So what's this ayin hara all about? What exactly is ayin hara all about? Ayin hara almost sounds like in America, like where people are trying to do the people that have.
Yeah, the other side is that class envy.
So that's not right. So that Rashi over here is doing something very powerful. Rashi over here is saying there are three parts. You want to count. Okay, count. The count is going to result in a sum. Then there's going to be ayin hara, this entity of ayin hara. Ayin hara will bring problems. A third element will come onto the stage called the dever. But we can take care of that. How do we take care of that? We bring pidyon nefesh, machzis Hashem, atonement. Okay, so we take away, we atone for the dever, and what are we left with? We're left with ayin hara and the number, and live and let live. In other words, I'm trying to present you the conservative approach. When everything is over, when we count the machzis hashegel, ayin hara remains. The minyan remains. The only thing that does not remain is the consequence of the dever. But ayin hara remains. Just because I gave a machzis hashegel is going to take away the ayin hara. Whatever ayin hara is, it's still there. It's been neutralized by giving the machzis hashekel. Problem is, like Rav Chol is saying, today people, they interpret ayin hara to mean you can't even, the disease is not the dever. The disease is the ayin hara. That if you have the number 10, that's not fair. No. Torah says, Kisiso esroish b'neishul, count them. Produce the blessing. The blessing indeed brings with it problems in this world. It brings ayin hara. The ayin hara then brings its own problem, is subject to attack, it's subject to a hostile takeover by the dever. So you know what you do? Call the police. Put up a safeguard that the people who, the dever should not come and be shoylet on the ayin hara. Safeguards. Private property. Don't touch me. So what are you left with when everything is said and done? You have your bracha. There's something called ayin hara. And you got a problem? That's your problem, not my problem. If Mr. Dever wants to attack me because I have created ayin hara, Mr. Dever, you touch me, you go to jail. There's law and order. I am allowed to have my number. It's true, my number creates this thing called ayin hara, and ayin hara right away triggers in this world a reaction of Mr. Dever comes along and says, oh, now that there's ayin hara, I want to knock you down, I want to wipe you out, because it's you know, this is not the way the world, this is like, we have to redistribute the wealth. All you got to do is neutralize the dever. Rashi says, Rashi's words are, let's read the whole pasuk. Kisisa, when you want to take a calculation, es roish bnei Yisrael lefkudehem. So now in today's society, in America, this would already be illegal. You're not allowed to do this. You want to count the people? No. Because if you count the people, you're going to have a very impressive number. You can't count. You're not allowed to even let it be known in this world that the Jewish people have blessing, that they have achieved a number, they have achieved 3 million people. No, sick. You can't do that. That's the attitude of this world today. You cannot show the world that you have blessing. The Torah says you can.
I have a little different angle for this based on what I've been learning in recent weeks. I mean, if you look at it from the perspective of bracha,
yeah.
Let's take the number of Bnei Yisrael, for example. What were the avos promised? They were promised a seemingly infinite number of Klal Yisrael, right? That has the stars and the sand. That's an infinite number. But when you have a finite number, that then a bracha does not arise from a finite.
Ain habracha mitzuyel b'dover hasamim min ayin.
Okay, my point.
Right, so we're going to come to that. All right, I want to present different approaches to ayin hara. We're going to come to that one moment. But this is a very delicate point, and I think it's very relevant based upon what's going on in society. I'm going to come to that one moment. But right now, let's take this first approach. We start with a question today. What exactly is ayin hara? What does that mean? On a very simple level, I walk in the street and I see a person wearing a gold watch. Wow, where did you get the money to buy that gold watch? How come you're wearing a gold watch and I'm not wearing a gold watch? How did this happen? That's called ayin hara. Ayin hara basically means something unusual. It's ra because you have and I don't have it. Inequality. How could it be at this moment in time you have and I don't have? So the question I asked you is, so because of that, ayin hara, we have a whole set of rules of things you can do, you shouldn't do, v'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. A question to you is, we don't live in a world of hocus pocus. We live in a very real world. Halacha is very real. It's very scientific. Just like there's numerous halachas of nichush, a prohibition to divine. If you're walking in the street and the cat walks in front of you, to go and say it's a bad omen that a cat walked in front of me and I have to sell all my stocks and I have to go do A, B, and C because the world's coming to an end. If a person behaves like that, he's in violation of numerous halachas of the Torah, and it shows that he has no faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what difference does it make if I have a gold watch or someone has a gold watch and he walks in the street? So someone's going to see that he has a gold watch, so he'll see he has a gold watch. What's this all about? What's going on over here? Everyone knows. Goes to work, he earns money, he has the right to spend the money on whatever he wants. You live in a free world. The Torah is a free world. The Torah is a very open society. Torah is not a Torah with coming to limit you. So what's going on over here? Why are there rules? So to take that example, there are many things to say about this, but let's do one thing at a time. Opening pasuk in the sixth parasha. We have such an example. When you count a collection of people, it's called an ayin hara. Why? Because it's perceived like a gold watch. If you reach a significant sum of a population, that's a blessing. That's something that is, whether you want to say it's a blessing, or something different, it's unique. It's like walking in the street wearing a gold watch when you reach a significant sum. So if you're gonna go to an extreme and say that anything that leads to an ayin hara is categorically forbidden, then the Torah should say, Loisisa esroish b'nei Yisrael lufkudehem. Parshas Kisis should begin with the word loy. Don't you dare. Don't you dare walk in the street with a gold watch, because everyone else is now wearing a gold watch. Don't drive a car that's a blue car, because everyone else has a black car, he has a yellow car, he has a white car. Don't be different. Don't. Lo sisa es rosh b'nei Yisrael. Don't. Usser. But the Torah doesn't say that. The Torah says, ki sisa es rosh b'nei Yisrael. You're allowed to walk in the street with a gold watch. You're allowed to go and count the Jewish people and present to the world, look who we are. We have big, significant numbers. Oh, but what about Ayin Hara? You're right. There is something called Ayin Hara, a mystical concept, and it will appear, it will attach itself, but it's okay. We just have to neutralize it. You're going to have the blessing, and that's fine. And that will create Ayin Hara. And when there's an Ayin Hara, it invites trouble. Ayin Hara invites troublemakers. When you walk with the gold watch, people start thinking, what are we know what we're going to do? We're going to rob him. We're going to kill him. We're going to take away his gold watch. We're gonna when he's not watching, we're gonna steal it. So you know what you gotta do? You have to create a society with security, preventive measures. We're not telling you not to wear the gold watch. Wear the gold watch. Count the Jewish people. Present your blessing. It's true. Ayin Hara is created. So goes into hate. Ayin Hara is created. It's not your problem. Just create safeguards to prevent that Ayin Hara from something terrible happening. Ki sisa es roish b'nei Yisrael lefkudehem. So what do you do? Ayin Hara has been created. It's fine. Gezun de hate. Neutralize the Ayin Hara. V'nosnu ish koifer nafsha l'Hashem b'fkoyin oisam. Give a couple of dollars to tzedakah. You've neutralized it. If you bring a gold watch, make sure that the society has police department. There's a camera. There are deterrents. People shouldn't steal from you. That's it. There's nothing wrong with Ayin Hara. It's just protect yourself. But then on the other hand, Mitzad Sheni, we do find Chazal telling you that if you do have an Ayin Hara, there are times where don't show yourself. Hide, actually conceal the blessing. Ein habrocha mitzuya, ella bedavar hasamui min ha'ayin. Blessing is only found something which is not okay. There is not defined. Obviously, there is another dimension to ayin hara, and that is causing other people pain. Jealousy. If you have a gold watch and you display it in such a way, in a mocking way, ha 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 ha, you poor people, you people are you're a bunch of nebuchs. You'll never be able to have the brains to get a job, to go. You don't even, these people, they don't even know how to go online. They're so unintelligent. They don't know how to register for the vaccine. Could you? I mean, it's utterly shocking. The reason why, they don't even know. They don't have the brains to know how to go online. Can you imagine if Trump would have said that? Could you imagine saying such things? It's not
somebody did.
Not to be believed. Literally not to be believed to say something like that and get away with it. This goes to show. But if you're going to go and flaunt your wealth, you're causing someone pain. That's different. That type of ayin hara can indeed result in terrible things. And there is nothing you can do to prevent. There's nothing you can do to prevent that. You don't always have techniques to prevent damage. And there's a whole category of things that you should not. Don't go show off. Don't go build for yourself a mansion on a block where everyone's on food stamps. All of your neighbors are on food stamps, and you go build on that same block. You go build with a mansion, a $20 million mansion. You know, you got a problem. Go build your mansion in a different neighborhood where everyone has a mansion, not on a block where everyone's on food stamps. So what's the difference? The difference is balance. It all comes down to balance. When it comes to taking a census, this is not something that you have to expect people, it causes them pain. To count a group of people, Klal Yisrael, you have 3 million people. You only have 1 million people. That's not something that in the world of reality, you have to hide your number. You're not allowed to count, take a number. I'm just giving you an example because I'm causing someone else to suffer. It's ridiculous. You got a problem. I'm allowed to wear a nice suit because you could also, if you really want, you can also have a nice suit. It's not that hard. You don't want. So if you don't want, don't go look at me like I have a blessing that you don't have. Every person has within their reach the ability to achieve success in their way. If you present your success, there's nothing wrong. It is permitted. And it's true. It does invite ayin hara, but there's an ayin hara that is permitted as long as it's not unreasonable for me to present my blessing to the world. And then there's an ayin hara that is forbidden. Because that ayin hara is where it's presented in such a way where you're mocking someone else, or for that person it's unattainable and it causes them pain. So basically I'm trying to point out is there ayin hara is not evil. Ayin hara is part of the world. It's a healthy part of world. The world operates with jealousy. If there wasn't jealousy, no one would go to work. The world operates with kinah. Kinah is the pasuk in Koheles that the Isi, the Shlomo HaMelech said that he saw from, what is the fuel? The fuel, I've got the exact pasuk by heart, the fuel that motivates mankind is jealousy. And that is a healthy jealousy. And that jealousy is synonymous with
competition.
Competition, but it's also you have that, I also want to have that. How do I have that? I also get a job. And that's healthy. And that competition is synonymous with ayin ra. It's not evil. You display your goods, good for you. You work hard for it. This other person can do the same exact thing. There are consequences when you display your blessing, but those consequences can be easily overcome within the world of normalcy. Like this example over here, so you give some tzedakah, you do Torah mitzvahs, and Torah mitzvahs protects. But just because you have a blessing does not mean you have to hide in the basement, and you have to go to an extreme that any element of ayin hara is also. That's not true. Ayin hara, there is a healthy ayin hara and that there is an unhealthy ayin hara. Parshas Kisiso begins with a healthy ayin hara. The Torah says, you want to count? Oh, count? You're displaying blessing? That's ayin hara. Go for it. Torah doesn't say lo sisa as Rosh B'nai Yisrael. It says ki sisa as Rosh B'nai Yisrael. You got the problem, not me. You also can have whatever you want. How do you deal with any issues? So there's, in this particular matter, there's a technique in order to avoid the problem, but it's permitted l'chatchila. Later in the parasha, we learn about another ayin hara. We learn about Har Sinai. Chazal say, why is Har Sinai called Har Sinai? Sinai comes from the word sina, hatred. Hatred. The world, halacha biyadua, Esav, soine, Yaakov. You can interchange the sin, the samach of Sinai, with the sin of sinna. Why does the world hate us? Why is it called Har Sinai? Miloshen of, instead of the samach, it's a sin, and there's a nun, sinna, hatred. They're jealous. They're jealous of us. Because Hashem gave us the Torah, not them. They had a chance. They also could have accepted, all right, this and that. The bottom line is, we have what they do not have. And it eats them up. From when Hashem gave us the Torah, a hatred with the gift of us receiving the Torah, it came down to this world, an intense hatred for the Jewish people, because deep down in their neshamas, they know that we have something that they will never have, the Torah HaKadosh. And Chazal go on to say, that jealousy, that hatred, it is the cause, to a degree, of the sequence of events which led to Moshe Rabbeinu shattering the Luchos. When Moshe came down and he saw the Egel, he didn't have to shatter the Luchos. Klal Yisrael didn't have to go and be so impetuous and go and replace him on the spur of the moment. There were a lot of forces in play that contributed to this horrific result in this week's parasha, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain and shattered the luchos. And part of that was the ayin hara of the entire world. When Hashem gave us the luchos, Chazal say, the entire world was silent. Even the animals did not make a sound. When Hashem came down, Har Sinai, silence. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the world was the audience. They witnessed Hashem give the Torah to Klal Yisrael. It was given in public. It's like we're wearing the gold watch in the street. Not just the gold watch, we're wearing a gold suit. We've got it all. And that was too much. It was too much for them to bear. It was overwhelming. And that feeling is what created a dynamic that's not possible to really define physically, which led to a sequence of events that led to the Churban of the Luchos. Ba'aluchos ma'aseh Elokim hema, ve'michtav Elokim hema, and that's gone. That was shattered. When Hashem gave Moshe the second set of Luchos, P'sol Lucho, Chazal say, it was given in the middle of the night. No one knew. No one saw. Business as usual. It was the greatest secret that happened on this world. It was given in the ultimate state of hiddenness. And that is exactly why we still have the Luchos Shniyos Ad Hayom Hazeh. There was no Ayin Hara. They never saw it. All the world knows. It's this very interesting phenomenon. The Chazal say this. All the world really knows is that Hashem gave us the Luchos, and they were destroyed. They never found out, the world never ever found out, that Hashem gave us the Luchos Shniyos. As far as they're concerned, we have nothing. Hashem gave us the Luchos. Ah, good for you. They were destroyed. They still hate us. They still hate us because Hashem still gave us the first luchos. That never went away. The hatred that Hashem gave us the first luchos, that remains forever. Because why did He select you more than us? Why did He nurture and cultivate the Jewish people? He should have cultivated us. He should have sent us to Mitzrayim and worked on us and put us in the core a barzel in order to make us better people to be eligible to receive the Torah. They hate us, no matter what. But as far as they're concerned, good for the Jews, good for you. You got on the plane, we threw you off the plane. You got your luchos. What?
Why is the psychology that the person who received it, in this case the Jews, or when two people are jealous of each other, why hate that person? Why not just
hate yourself? They don't hate us. They hate themselves. They hate themselves. And this is ABC. This is psychology 101. When you hate someone else, who do you really hate? You hate yourself. And you take it out on someone else. This is Dvarim Pshutim. Whenever you see one person hate someone else, he hates himself. And he just takes it out on someone else. Instead of punching yourself, you punch someone else. Because it hurts. If you punch yourself, it hurts. So you might as well let someone else feel that pain. But the act of hate is always directed internally against yourself. The Umos HaOlam hate themselves. And they let it out on us. Because we are the cause, we are the trigger of them hating themselves. And it was overwhelming for them. And as far as they're concerned, as far as they know, public knowledge on the record, Hashem gave us the Torah, and Moshe destroyed it. And they do not know the big secret that Hashem gave it to us a second time. They don't even know that. They don't know. They're not even aware of that. And that's the reason why the luchos still endure Ad Hayom Hazeh, because Ayin Hara. It's not always good to walk down the street wearing a gold watch. You're looking for trouble. So the question over here is, we really have a contradiction in this parasha. The parasha begins, well, the whole point I'm trying to make, the parasha begins, we have two massive examples of Ayin Hara in Parashas Ki Sisa. The parasha begins with, Rashi says explicitly, when you take a census, make sure everyone in the Jewish people gives a machtis ha-shekel to provide atonement for their souls so they don't die because of the census. And Rashi says, because what's the ayin hara? Rashi couldn't be more explicit. Sheha minyan shoylet boy ayin hara? And then what are the consequences of ayin hara? It says, v'hadever bo'aleihem. What's the second example of ayin hara? The luchos. Chazal said this explicitly. The reason why the luchos rishonim were shattered was because there was shoylet boy ayin hara. The whole world was watching. They were jealous beyond belief. So the luchos were destroyed. The question now is, if ayin hara is so bad, and that's why the luchos were destroyed, so why then does Hashem give us permission here in the beginning of the parasha to take a census? Why get involved? Just make a rule, make a law that is categorically forbidden to ever count the Jewish people. Wouldn't that make a lot more sense? You know what would happen if you would make that law? That you're never allowed to count the Jews, you're never allowed to present any blessing in this world? Then we would all be driving the same color cars. Everyone would have to be, it would be communism, global communism to an extreme. We would all be miserable. We'd all be miserable. Miserable as can be, because anything that you do is, you know, like in America today. Anything you do, no, not fair. It's not fair that you can have and this one can't have. Equality to the extreme. The Torah begins the parasha. No. If I give you blessing, enjoy the blessing. It doesn't say lo sisa es reish b'nei Yisrael. It says ki sisa. Go ahead. Invite the ayin hara to the table. Just enact, create safeguards that the ayin hara should not destroy you. But on the other hand, there's a contradiction. Look what happens when you invite ayin hara. Look what happens with the luchos. The luchos were shattered. The answer is balance. Balance. There's a good ayin hara and there's a bad ayin hara. The luchos, it was over the top. It really was. The whole world was watching. They were jealous. It brought incredible sinna. Could it have been done differently? I don't know. Maybe it could. If Chazal make this point, I'm not telling you if Chazal. The reason why it was destroyed was because of Ayin Hara. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Luchos Shniyos, he says to Hashem, "V'niflinu ani v'amecha." We should be different. We should be different. Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm trying to suggest that that pasuk v'niflinu was Moshe's lesson, takeaway. When you give us now the Luchos Shniyos, you know, take us to the side. Let us be different. Don't let's not show off. Perhaps it was to a degree a response. There was a tweet we should have maybe. Can you say such a thing that when we receive the Luchos Rishonis, we should have asked Hashem that it be done bitzina, not to antagonize the world? If Chazal tell us the reason why it was shattered was because of Ayin Hara, obviously there's a problem. Who's responsible for that problem? Oh, that's the way it goes. Has to happen. No such thing in Yadus. Nothing has to happen. You make it happen. You control the narrative. Did it really have to happen that there was an Ayin Hara? Maybe we should have been more careful. We should have, Moshe and Klal Yisrael should have arranged that the Luchos should have been given in a private ceremony. You ever hear the commercials? These people, they have a funeral, a private ceremony. This is not on Zoom for public consumption. Hashem is giving Klal Yisrael the Torah. It'll be on the CNN. God is giving the tablets to the Jewish people. You want to see, so there are two ways. You want to see the video? Live feeds. Click here to see the live feed. That's one version. Version two. God is giving the tablets to the Jewish people in a private ceremony. Maybe it should have been in a private ceremony. And maybe when Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Luchos Shniyos, he says, V'niflinu ani v'amecha. Let's go outside, Hashem. We don't need to see this. They don't need, the Pashup Shah on the Pasuk is that do not rest your divine presence upon the Umas Ha'ilim, only rest it upon us. That's the Pashup Shah on the Pasuk. But there's also an element of the Niflin Ani V'Amcha is, let's stay away from the Goyim. They don't have to know everything. This is the private affair. It's not for the whole world to see. And there's by Hasidim.
Obviously, though, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be a worldwide.
I don't know. Is that really true? Like we said, if Chazal,
and everybody heard about it. Everybody saw.
Okay, everyone heard about this, but there's the balance. There's a balance. There's a way to do everything. If the end of the day was, Chazal do make this statement that you can't ignore their words, that contributing factor to the sharing of the Luchos was the Ayin Hara. Doesn't that mean, aren't they signaling to us that maybe it should have been done differently? It's not the only reason why they were shattered. Let's not forget, we worship the eagle. We worship the eagle. Okay, but there
has to be the primary reason.
Okay, of course. But they make this very powerful statement. Did Moshe really have to shatter the Luchos when he came down? Okay, you can talk about this forever and ever. But they do make this statement. And this statement, you can't tell me, if they make the statement, it means to say, you know, maybe we should have thought a little bit about this and had maybe, you know, done a little different. The ceremony should have been a little bit different. We should have at least asked Hashem to do a little bit different, whatever it is. And most at the end of the day.
Fearful. That's if you were fearful of my Yomru HaGoyim. But at that point in time, what did we have to fear?
If Chazal told us that this is the why it happened, that means that we already had enough insight on whatever level, whatever degree, that...
I don't know. It sounds like you're second-guessing a Kaddish Baruch Hu.
Chas v'sholom. I'm not second-guessing Chas v'sholom.
Sounds like.
No.
Hashem wanted this grand event, and you're saying, maybe this wasn't...
No, who says he wanted? How do you know he wanted the grand event? We wanted the grand event. Who says he wanted the grand event? We're the ones who wanted the grand event. And Hashem, you want, I'll go along with you. You have a child, so I want a wedding. I want a wedding in the Pierre. You want the wedding in the Pierre? You want me to spend $1 million? All right, I'll spend $1 million. And let's say the child would say to the parents, I don't need a wedding in the Pierre. I'll have it over here in the basement in the Yungishul of Midwest. It's good enough for me. Okay, that's what you want. That's what you'll get. I don't know. I'm throwing out ideas. because, and these ideas I feel are legitimate. I'm not, because if Chazal make a statement, you have a right to acknowledge that statement, is to realize that something went wrong. If they tell us the reason why it was shattered was because of the Ayin Hara, and the reason why the Luchos Shniyos are still with us Ad Hayom Hazeh is because it was given in the middle of the night and no one knew, it's the biggest secret in the world, that means that there's something maybe could have been different. There's something over there. And at the end of the day, when Moshe, before Moshe received the second Luchos, Moshe says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'niflinu ani v'amcha. What is that all about? What is that all about? Then if all of a sudden Moshe says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, let's be different. You know, put us on the side. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'niflinu ani v'amcha, in the very beginning? It's a response of the Bepumbi. When something is done in front of the entire world, it creates an Ayin Hara. Now, an Ayin Hara, let's not make any mistake, is healthy. It's competition. It's kina. It is the energy. It is the motivation which keeps this world functioning. What's going on in America today is just out of this, it's off the charts, ridiculous. How far it goes. The Torah begins, that's right, kisisa. Don't be embarrassed. You have blessing. That's right. You're entitled to have blessing. You're entitled to enjoy the blessing. So someone's going to see that you drive a car and they don't only have a bicycle? So let them go buy a car. Let them get a job. Let them also achieve success. Who's stopping them? You have to protect your car. You know, you have to have a lock. You have to park it in a place that's safe because there are people that are jealous and it can lead to violence. It can lead to theft. So kaifer nefesh. Do kaifer nefesh. Do what you have to do. There's a technique. But on the other hand, look what happens when you do have ayin hara. The luchos was shattered. That's the pits. That's pretty bad. It means we've done something wrong. There has to be a balance. There's a good ayin hara that's healthy, that's vibrant, that's part of what makes society great, provides competition, motivation, drive for success, happiness. And then there's where you're overwhelming people. You're overwhelming them. You got to know where to draw the line. And that is a very, very difficult and delicate task. And every person, every situation is different. Every generation is different. Every person is different. Every community is different. Of the healthy ayin hara and the unhealthy. I was talking to a rabbi in Lakewood about making a kiddush on Shabbos. So in Agam Chaim Berlin, they have a kiddush, basically every week there's a kiddush. Baruch Hashem, there's a very, very big yeshiva, and there's always smachos. There are births, there's a bar mitzvah, there's an ufruf, and Baruch Hashem, they had that at that time. I don't know what they have now, I haven't davened there in many, many years, but they have, I think, 800 people davening there on Shabbos in those days, back in the day, something like that. So when you're going to go make every Shabbos, a person makes a bar mitzvah, a rebbe in the yeshiva, a son and koil will make a bar mitzvah, and you're going to have a hot, catered meal for 800 people? Really? People can't afford this. Okay, not everyone in Flatbush is so rich. Can afford to go make a hot kiddush for 800 people every Shabbos. So there's a rule. So they actually used to have hot kiddush. I remember that was way, way back when the yeshiva was much smaller. I got a lot of hand. That's it. One size fits all. Okay, one size fits all, standard, whatever it is for everyone. Because that's, you know, that's the, in Lakewood, so I was talking to a rabbi in Lakewood recently, it's a small shul, it's not a big shul, not all that many people who come to the shul, it's somewhere in the middle, it's not like Goldilocks, not too small, not too big, and there are some people that are very well to do, they're very successful, and there are some people that are not so successful. And the question is, should we institute a policy of one size fits all for the Shabbos Kiddush? And the answer was, after the debate, is no. No, we're not going to institute a policy. Everyone can do whatever they want. There are people that have, and unfortunately, the people that don't have yet. And the decision was, the shul is not of a size where it's unreasonable where we have to impose there are people who want to give a nice kiddush. It's not, and the situation is not like 800 people, you're not talking about like something like that, where If Hashem, the decision was, if Hashem gave you bracha and you want to make a nice kiddush, you can make a nice kiddush. Oh, but the guy next week was making a kiddush, he can't afford to make such a nice kiddush. So he won't make a nice kiddush. Just because one person doesn't have, doesn't mean that the whole world is forced to fit into his mold. You can't do that. You have to know where the balance is. In a place like Chaim Berlin, okay, you know, a different story there. But in an average size shul, you can't go force everyone, every single person. That was their decision in that shul. Okay, I can't go tell you that works. Another rabbi will agree. There are some rabbis that would be very happy that there should be global communism. I can't talk for everyone. Everyone has different strokes with different folks. But you learn in this parasha, it really jumps out at me, at least in preparing the sugya of Ayin Hara, the two examples of Ayin Hara in this parasha, the good one and the bad one. The bad one, it was a failure. It was too much. And there are consequences of hatred that we suffer ad hayom hazeh because of this. Har Sinai, misham yotza sinna le'olam, hatred. They hate us. They're jealous of us because it was a public display of love for us and not for them.
And chosenness.
Chosenness. It wasn't yet the time, maybe. It wasn't yet the time for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show this love for us. Mashiach will come. That'll be different. It wasn't yet the time. The consequences live on with us. Ad hayom hazeh. Halacha b'yidu Esav Soneis Yaakov. Ayin har, the words Ayin har are used. But the beginning of the parasha it says, Ki sisa. Doesn't say lo sisa. You're allowed to live and enjoy life and show off a little bit. You're allowed. So contradiction, balance. Balance. It's not showing off. Exactly. So you just said it. It's not showing off. It's not showing. Exactly. It's not showing off. It's living, being normal, a healthy life. You can't say just because he can't afford, I can't do it either. Exactly. It's not showing off. And if you don't understand that, it's your problem, not my problem. Balance. There's a good Ayin Hara and there's a bad Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara, the purpose of the shir is, until today, I prepared yesterday learning this, I always thought Ayin Hara is evil. Evil. No, it's not. That's the lesson that I learned from this shir. Ayin Hara is not evil. It's good. It's like everything else in this world. It's a tool. It's a tool to, and it has not to be abused. Ayin Hara is inevitable. It's part of the way the world works. Rashi says it here in the first Rashi in Chumash. This is how the world works. There is something called Ayin Hara. Whether you like it or not, it's there, it's alive and well. Deal with it. And if you can deal with it, that's how it is. There are the haves and the have-nots. But if it gets to the point where the Ayin Hara brings hatred, sinna, and it leads to Churban, maybe you've passed the line. You've gone too far. But don't go to an extreme like what's going on in America. Don't go that far. I'm sorry? David HaMelech, he made the mistake. David HaMelech, he didn't do the pinyan nefesh. He counted the Jewish people directly. Okay, that's a different thought. Okay, now there are a few more things I want to talk about. Nine heartbreak. We have a few more minutes left. Oh wow, it's so late. I didn't realize how long this. I only meant to take a few minutes, but I'll just talk a few other things. Ayin Hara, I have, and this sefer I prepared for me is a very, very fascinating topic, a discussion. This is from Rabbi Braun's son. And this year, many years ago, when we started, we spent a lot of time learning Kitzer Shulchan Aruch with the parish of She'arim Mitzuyanim B'Halacha. Okay, we went through almost the whole Kitzer Shulchan Aruch with She'arim Mitzuyanim B'Halacha, and which was written by Rabbi Braun, the most incredible sefer. This is his, I think his grandson. I'm not mistaken. His grandson put out one volume so far on the parasha, halachic topics on the parasha, similar to the other sermon that we use. And he has here a very, very massive section on Ayin Hara, which I drew from today. There's a lot more. But one of the things that he talks about is something that comes from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer said something which he tries very hard to dispel as being not true or being taken way out of context. The Chassam Sofer says, you know, there is an expression, let's say when it comes to demons, if you're not makbid, they are not makbid. There are certain principles in mystical things where you don't bother it, it won't bother you. You have in your basement asbestos on your pipes. You know what they tell you? You don't bother it, it won't bother you. You want to leave it there when you'll sell your house. No, you'll have to get someone to take it away. But right now, you don't bother it, it won't bother you. Just don't touch it, leave it alone. Shadim, are you worried about demons? Are you worried about this? Are you worried about that? All these spooky stuff. If someone walks in front of you, someone does this, someone does that. If two women, you walk in front of two women, you know, the list goes on and on and on and on. Are we really concerned about these things? If a cat walks in front of me, should I lose a night of sleep? So the rule of thumb is, if mandel, I've got the Hebrew words, the exact Hebrew words, the rule of thumb is, if don't make a big deal about it. If you're going to make a big deal about it, then they will make a big deal about you. The cat that walked in front of you, if you don't give it a second look, then you don't have nothing to worry about. But if you get really nervous, then you know what? That cat's going to come to haunt you. And this works I'm not into these mystical things. I have no idea what this means.
No, more like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
No, it's more. It's more than a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's deeper than that. Okay, Ain lanu esek b'nistaris.
It has to do with minasaracha and minasavdin.
Okay, fine. These are mystical things.
Now you're in the mystical area.
There are koichos in shemayim of rachamim, din, this and that. And they're real. We have to have emuna pshuta, that these are real things. If Chazal talk about these things, they're real. However, they're only activated, they're only triggered to be activated if we take it seriously. We are given the option to ignore it. And if we ignore it, then these real things don't become real. They don't happen.
You see, that's why Slichas is said after Chatzos.
Because it's a dangerous time. Exactly. It's Minasarachim. Before that is Minasadin. Right. So we do these things. We take them seriously to the best that we can. But
what I'm saying is there is mainstream thought on it.
Of course. The Minhag Yisrael, there's no question. There's no question that nighttime is man of din. The whole, everything in Shulchan Aruch is based upon this. But to a degree. And sometimes you can't always follow all these rules, all the minhagim. So then the rule is, listen, as long as you don't get excited about it, you don't have nothing to worry about. If you're going to get too worked up about these things, they're real. They are real. And then it may come to haunt you. Then these it may trigger things that may not be to your benefit. This is a general principle. It's not our shir. This is a general principle regarding mystical things. Mystical things, which Baruch is saying, is not so mystical. We follow this in Shulchan Aruch in many different areas. That's not my point. The point is, Rabbi Bruon is very, very fascinating what he says. He writes here, that if you go out into the street and you'll ask people about Ayin Hara, people doing things that are a little over the top, like we said before, you know, there's a balance. There's a balance. If you have bracha, enjoy it. Verse, don't rub it in to someone else. There are people out there in the world that go over the top. They cross the line. And when they're confronted, and they say, you know, I think you maybe gone a little too far here. They will say to you, listen, to Ayin Hara, Hashem gave me bracha. I want to spend my bracha. Don't tell me about, you know, people get upset. They're jealous of this. Man de loy kapde loy kapdina. I'm not worried about Ayinah. I'm not worried that I did something way over the top and people are taking note of. Because I'm applying the principle. This is a mystical concept. Why should I lose my job, lose my wealth, because I made this magnificent, magnificent celebration for no reason whatsoever, and people are a little bit jealous? Their jealousy is going to cause me to lose my money? This is mystical. This is not something which is works al derech hateva. This is a mystical concept, you're telling me. If I'm not makbid on this, then this mystical concept is not makbid on me. It's not going to take away my money or take away my blessing, whatever that blessing may be. This is something which is said. You ask people who are in violation. I don't know people, I'm not part of that chevra. People who are in violation of going over the top. But people who go over the top, he says, he writes here, there's an attitude. They're not afraid. They're not afraid. And when you'll confront them, they'll tell you is, they'll take that principle that's said elsewhere in other mystical concepts, and they'll say to you, if you're not makbid, if you don't think about it, I don't think about these things, so it's not going to affect me. And he shows that the Chasam Sofer actually said this regarding marrying a boy, Mary here, with a shviga, has the same name as the kala. When the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law share the same first name. Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid says it should not be done. Why not? It's not so simple why. Most opinions hold ayin hara. Okay, it's not just a purely Kabbalistic concept. It's an ayin hara. What's the ayin hara? It's hard to put your finger on it. It's strange. It's different. Oh, look at that. You both have the same name. You stand out.
Yeah, because when you call the name of the
That's already a different reason. You call him Kala, so who you call, who you're referring to, you know, you may get mixed up. And it's not
Sneus. They used to live in close quarters.
It's not Sneus. Okay, there are many different approaches to these ideas.
How can no one discuss when the Shviga's name is the same as the Chasam?
Okay, that's it. Okay, I'm running out of time. I just want to make this point. So the Chasam Sofer, in discussing this topic of very specifically of a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law, not the males. The mother-in-law and the daughter, he says, if you're not makbid, it's not makbid on you. Big deal. Big deal. But if you're not from the Fabrenta Chassid, Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid, if you're not makbid, it's not makbid. You have nothing to worry about. Gay gezun to hate, get married, shalom al Yisrael. Now, here's the problem. People come along, and they say, wait a minute, the Chasam Sofer said this exact concept to permit people to get married in this situation. And they take with what the Chasam, if you're not makbid, it's not makbid. And they also assume that the reason why you're not allowed to marry, the problem that Rabbi Yehuda Chos trying to address is ayin hara. It's an ayin hara. What exactly does ayin hara in that concept, in that topic mean? Does it mean the same thing that it means with making a fancy wedding? Not necessarily, but it's a cousin. It's also part of the category of ayin hara. Oh, look at that. You can't do better. A Chasam Sofer says it's mutter because if you're not makbid, it's not makbid. And the reason, everyone knows, of course, the reason why the problem of having the mother-in-law and the daughter have the same name is because of ayin hara. Oh, look at this. 1 + 1 = 2. When it comes to ayin hara, I can make the most magnificent, outrageous event and make everyone super duper jealous. Ayin hara, I'm going to lose my money? Forget about their feelings. We're talking about you. Let's talk about you. Aren't you worried that next year you're not going to have a job? You're going to be on welfare? Aren't you worried? You're shaita? What are you doing? Forget about jealousy. Adra, I want them to be jealous. Good. Mission accomplished. They're jealous. Excellent. Excellent. You got that. You win. But aren't you worried for your own good and welfare? What's going to be with you next year? I'm not Chassam Sofer. If you're not Machbid, this mystical concept of my money disappearing, Shaloy Alderech HaTeva, it's not going to happen to me. I have a good job. Alderech HaTeva, I'm okay. I'm financially secure. Everything is okay and good. Alderech HaTeva, you're going to tell me anything can happen, of course, but Shaloy Alderech HaTeva because of Ayin Hara? Chassam Sofer. If you're not Machbid, it's not Machbid. And where did he say it? Mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, and go open up some of the big books and they'll tell you the reasons because of Ayin Hara. So he has over here basically a whole section to show Nishka Haigin, Nishka Flagin. There are different, the Ayin Hara of the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law. First of all, whoever said it's Ayin Hara? That's one opinion. The Ayin Hara maybe refers to the men, the males, not the females. And even if it is Ayin Hara, there are different types of Ayin Hara. He spends a lot of time here, a lot of effort to say that this is foolish. It's not true. And to show you that this principle of don't tell me that it is a mystical concept. It is. You can't deny it. You can't deny it. Jealousy, good, they're jealous. Gesundheit, they're all jealous. But their jealousy should result in something happening to me, shaloy al derech hateva, that I should lose my job? Anything can happen, but you tell me that there's a koyach of ayin hara, I'm gonna something that's gonna happen to me would not otherwise happen? It is a mystical concept. It is, you can't deny that.
It's not so strange.
It is strange. It is strange.
And this is how I heard Rabbi Avigdor.
So he said it's not true. The koyach of Ayin Hara is so powerful. It is so powerful. You don't play around with it. It's not your discretion. It's not in your discretion. It's like we're giving like a mystical shiur over here. There's an Ayin Hara that is healthy. That is good. Then there's when you cross the line. When you cross the line and you are in violation in whatever the rules of violation are, don't come back and say, I couldn't care less, I'm in violation, because it's in any way not relevant, because man leikati, leikatinan. It's not true. That rule is categorically false when it comes to Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara is something you don't play around with. Where it is not permitted, it's not permitted. It's not up to your discretion to decide, like with the cats and with walking over here, walking over there, and omens and these different things. You got a good point. They're all in the same category of things that are not tangible. They're not real. You've got a very good point. And in many of these things, we have a principle. Listen, just forget about it. Ignore it. But not when it comes to Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara is much more serious. It's something that a person should be much more sensitive to. I guess the basic difference is it affects other people. When you're dealing with a cat walking in front of you, who could care less? So there, you want to say, Mandalay Kapi, like Kapi, and Guzunta hate. But here, you're causing your behavior arouses a reaction in other people. They're surprised. Not necessarily jealous. Not everyone's jealous. They're just surprised. Oh, you want to present yourself in a certain way? That's fine. I just, it involves other human beings and in their relationship with you, whether it's good or bad. And if in those situations you have triggered the laws of Ayin Hara, you're in trouble. And there's no excuse of saying, if I'm not Makbid, it's not Makbid. It doesn't work like that. All right, that's basically our Yisoy for today. I hope it's long-winded examples, but this parsha is definitely something to pay attention to, the two different examples in Hara and the balance, and it's not in your hands to ignore. It's something you have to focus on. That was the summary of the whole shiur in Mamish 10 seconds.
If anyone needs a segula against Ayin Hara, let me know. It's very cheap. If you give me $101, I'll give you the segula.
Have a good afternoon.
Have a good day. Be well, everyone. Zygazant, yeah. Zygazant. Listen, Mordechai, what were you trying to say?
Mark, we haven't seen you at night.
He said, what happened to you, Mark? The power of an Ayin Hara is real. It's repeated
many times
in the Gemara. Because it works this way, he said. Some people are given by Hashem good looks. Some are given beautiful children. Some are given money. Some are given brains. All kinds of gifts. But they're given and they should be appreciated privately. Once we flaunt it and we create jealousy in other people, Hashem says, no, I didn't give you those gifts to make other people upset. If that's what you're doing, I'm going to have to.
So that's what we're saying. I'm saying exactly the same thing. But yeah, it doesn't mean to go to an extreme and you can't do anything. It doesn't mean if there are people, if you're acting within the realm of normalcy, and there are people that are jealous, that's their problem, not your problem.
No, but there has to be a balance.
He said,
if your son gets a good mark on his Gemara test,
yeah,
don't even tell your sister. Maybe her son didn't do so well on that test. Keep quiet. If you want to improve the beauty of your home, do it inside, not outside.
Every situation is unique. You cannot generalize. Every person knows in every situation is a balance. But don't go to either extreme. We live in a society today where we go all the way to one extreme or the other. Either you go like have to hide, no one should know anything. That's also not right. Or you go overdo it. That's certainly not right. There has to be a very delicate balance. But just because Hashem gave you a bracha, it does not mean like what's going on in America today. You have a bracha. You know what? I have a bracha because he doesn't have the bracha. If the African American doesn't have that bracha, then you can't have it either. That's ridiculous. This attitude of society, secular society, is seeping in to every dimension of life, and that's ridiculous. The Torah says you want to ki sisa means bracha. Torah begins ki sisa. It doesn't say loy sisa. Why didn't the Torah just make a rule? You can't count the Jewish people. Finished. No counting. Because you can't show off the bracha. There has to be a balance. That's it. Mayor Stark, what's new with you? You're on mute. Mayor, you're on mute. You got to take off the mute. I can't hear you.
Yes.
What's doing?
I am finished. I got so many different issues with my family and with the house. I don't know if I'm coming. I don't know.
Call me later. We'll talk about it. Call me later, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Call me privately. Avlaza, what's new?
Listen.
Okay, Rabbi Sai.
Terrible slaves of Bashi. Give me a call.
Rabbi Baruch, are you there? Okay, I want to continue with you, but today's not a good day. Maybe we'll do it sometime later this week.
Okay, good day, everybody. A good afternoon.
Mayor, you're the voice for a quality show here. Mayor Appeldorf, huh?
What do you want?
I'm saying, I just see the top of your head. Let me see your face. You're the voice.
You see my face?
You see the forehead.
I just see your forehead.
What should I do? What should I do?
Bring up your head so we can see.
You want to see my nose?
No.